today, and look at him. He's still pooping. What did he eat?
Well, I'm not really looking at him, per se. I'm looking at the door, opening to reveal him.
I might look at him in kind of like a metaphoric sense.
Yeah.
He's been pooping for 45 minutes now.
I don't really know. I mean, I guess we should issue an advisory for all farmers in the area to count their cows or something. Right. Because
I'm going to go check on him.
Okay.
Hey, Troop, you all right in there? What? You. All right, I'll check. Hold on. Just hold on. All right? Don't go into the light.
That doesn't sound good.
He needs a tow winch and a midget. Oh, I think he got out. Oh, man, I was worried about you in there.
Did you tell East Central Illinois that I was in the toilet?
Yes. Well, I was worried, man.
I think there's some kind of protocol here. Some kind of code of honor. I guess there's not.
Well, we were running as much ambient stuff after the fact as we could, but ran out, man.
It was beginning to get focused.
It was.
I was coming in here complete with an opening idea and everything.
What did you eat?
Can we stop talking about this? I've already realized that there's no honor or trust between any of us. So can I at least salvage some of my dignity while it still remains a little bit?
No.
How about that?
No.
You're like my mom. And I'll tell you exactly how. In high school, there was no protocol there either. When I was growing up and through high school, and when girls actually did start to call, you know, and I was indisposed, say, in much in the same way that I was indisposed just now.
Yeah.
I kind of assumed that there was a code of honor between me and my mom, that my mom wouldn't go telling whatever, you know, said girl had called that was calling that I was in the toilet, you know, taking a crap or something. Like, I assumed that was the kind of thing. Like, she would make up some excuse. He's not here.
Kind of a safe assumption, sure.
Yeah, he'll call back. He's in the shower is even better. No. My mom's like, oh, he's in the bathroom. Can he call you back? You know, and then if I, like, didn't call back right away when I got out of the bathroom, it's like I had been in the bathroom for that length of time, you know? So there was no code of honor there, just like there's no code of honor here, apparently.
It's really hard to talk to a girl when the major topic that you're starting off with is your gastrointestinal process.
Yeah, you know, she's curious. She's got natural questions, you know, how does a person stay in the bathroom for so long, you know, like, did everything work out okay? It took a long time to train my mom to kind of respect this code of honor that I guess I wrongly assumed would be there.
What kind of training? Like rolls, treats, that sort of thing?
Yes.
Like, yeah, treat if she...
Yes.
If she said that you were at the circus or something instead of the bathroom.
Right. And I don't even like shower, you know? Like, being in the bathroom at all, just don't say. Like, I'm not there. Why not I'm there? Because if you say that I'm not there, then you're doing double duty. You know, that's cool. I can call her back whenever. And second of all, like, I got other places to be, you know? Like,
oh, sure.
Than at home with my mom. So it's like... Double, triple duty there.
See, I had a similar but very different situation. Eric's rooting around in the dumpster. I wonder.
Sorry, I'm hungry and I saw like a sandwich.
Wonder what particular.
Okay, I'm coming in.
Particular madness I'll develop later on tonight.
Oh, shiny stuff.
Oh, God, look, I found some shiny things.
Oh, good. Shiny. Those are a hot commodity.
Wait, I think something's still in the dumpster. We'll just close the door and hope that it goes away.
I had the problem where I was always home in the afternoons, and so was my stepfather. My stepfather is 60-some years old, and he was a teacher at City College, and so he was always home when I was home, being a student. And he wouldn't tell people I was in the bathroom. He would yell for me to come to the phone. And sometimes I'm in the middle of a very intimate process. We didn't have a cordless phone, and that would also cause huge problems. And he didn't take to training because old dogs can't learn new tricks. So it was also very difficult. Many conversations during my high school years were had with my pants down, and I want to apologize to everyone because of that.
You.
Yeah, well, you know, it was tough for me, too.
I used to just spend hours upon hours in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, sure, I mean, when you can get away with it, you know. The climate's generally fairly good in there.
Yeah, except, you know what, I have this tendency even now to this day. You know, I tend to overestimate, you know... my poop hang time, if you will. Like, I don't think, you know, I think I'm gonna be there a lot longer than I am.
Oh, I will.
And I bring a book.
Yeah, you usually bring three, four volumes of.
Yeah. And I get. Do you guys get this? You sit the wrong way when you're pooping and reading, and everything from the waist down goes numb. but it goes numb in such a way that you don't realize it's gone numb until you try to stand.
Sure. I'm currently working my way through Vonnegut's Blue Bear now. In toilet sessions only.
I like that.
You know, and I'm getting like 6 pages, you know, per time. But it's really rewarding when I'm taking the actual poop in which I can finish the book. I really think it's going to be an unparalleled.
But do you have to do this? Like, you know, what happens is like, you know, a couple of days you don't hit the house as much. You know, you're out and about. You're pooping in public places, like, you know, a fountain, what have you. And then when you get back, you have to backtrack. So you're trying to hold, so you can get, like, you got to read back a few pages. Like, where was I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was going on? Oh, no, what? Okay, I'm almost to where I was. Clench.
You know,
that's kind of stuff that you gotta do. You know,
So does this count as scatological humor?
Woe betide the man, and I am sometimes the man who forgets to bring reading material in with him when, you know, he's in a certain state, shall we say.
Sure.
And the state could
grab
be, you know, like Idaho. You know, when he's in a state of Idaho, goes into the bathroom. You grab like the cleaner that's around. You've been really intimately familiar with the hand soap, and damned if it ain't fascinating.
It really is. The first couple of times you read like the bottle of Galactic body wash, might be sitting near you.
That you've read 100 times already.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Darth Maul's head's just looking at you from the top of the bottle.
You know, you read that ingredient list and you realize why X is in the language.
Exactly.
You know, that's where they use it.
Right. I mean, it's getting serious
also,
duty
like,
out of the.
And like I've been in similar states like that, Florida, Indiana, where I haven't had time to grab appropriate reading material in the time needed to get to the bathroom, so. You know, I'm thinking I can rectify this situation, no pun intended, by having some kind of rack next to the toilet, you know, with reading material stashed away in it, you know, at least that, and then I replenish them at my leisure.
Mm.
But then I'll have them there, and I don't have to worry about grabbing anything. But then I thought, you know, I live with 4 people, and I'm not sure that I want a whole carton full of reading material staying in the bathroom the whole time.
That's
pretty
very
much
true.
Taints a book if there's, you know, a book in there. For lifetime, that poor book isn't gonna be able to go sit on the shelf again amongst his other book friends.
And there's also something sort of weird about, you know, you're sitting around the dinner table later that day and you begin to talk about what you've been reading because, you know, you're very culturally educated, that sort of thing.
You're all reading the same book?
Yeah, you're all reading the same book and you can't really help, you can't separate the context.
Seriously,
and
then you got magazines, which the pages of get wrinkled from the steam of the showers and stuff, so you're opening these crinkly magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know, I mean, you get these images in your head of all your other roommates reading the same magazine.
And pooping.
During the same crinkly pages while they're pooping on the same seat. And it's just all too...
You really get yourself into New Jersey.
Too real. Yeah.
I'm completely the opposite kind of person. I don't ever forget to bring reading materials in with me. But what I do forget to do is bring reading materials back out with me. So, like, by, like, Wednesday, there's a stack of books, like, a foot high on the back, like, on the tank. And Mark's really upset about it, usually.
Well, the first couple times, I mean, as his roommate, it's an endless source of amusement to me. I mean, sometimes I'll catch him bringing in, like, multiple folio editions of Shakespearean plays, you know, and I'm wondering what he's doing in there. Is he doing the comparison? Is he deciding which one he wants to perform?
Right. Well, and usually, basically, just what I'm doing is I'm looking for typos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shakespeare wrote in a hurry.
Well, he didn't have spell check.
He didn't, and he had very hostile relationship with all his editors.
Right.
Definitely.
So, well, he used to poke them with sticks.
That he didn't like the integrity of his misspellings to be damaged in any way.
No, because he put them there for a reason.
I often find it strange and creepy, actually, how Eric will set up. He'll you know, the plunger will be in a totally different corner of the room, and like, you know, the rubber gloves for cleaning out the toilet, like they'll be propped up on the faucet or something. I'll wonder, you know, what was he reenacting here?
Yeah.
Sometimes the thumb is gouged out in one of the yellow gloves, and I think, oh, Lear, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Right, exactly. The loneliness, the
ostracism.
Ostrich.
The ostrich.
Yeah.
The ostrich layer. You know, I thought it was a weird choice for Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
But I see, you know, I mean, the more you see and read the play, the more necessary it becomes. Yeah.
There is, everything's there for a reason, man.
Sure.
It's like Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Shakespeare was the Hitchcock of his day.
I'll buy that.
Well, yeah.
And I won't even complain about the high price. I like the end of Lear, though, where, you know, Lear leads his army of crazed ostriches to overtake the castle again.
Mm-hmm.
The fool at his right-hand side and, you know, Edgar on his left, all riding crazed ostriches.
Mm-hmm.
like that part.
It's really a shame the hack job that they did on the later Folio editions of that. You know, the version that's most commonly available now.
Yeah.
A lot like the indignities that Garth Brooks frequently suffers with the early Folio editions of his work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, you know, Garth Brooks could be said to be the Hitchcock of his day or the Shakespeare of his day.
Yeah.
Wow. By the transitive property of mathematics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really prefer the original Folio edition of Romeo and Juliet because they live at the end. And I really think that was what Shakespeare wanted.
Really?
No. They live.
So I actually set out to just pen a very simple romantic comedy.
Exactly. He doesn't actually kill
Tybalt,
yeah. And Tybalt doesn't actually kill Mercutio either. Tybalt spills a drink on Mercutio.
It's all
and then Romeo.
It's a misunderstanding.
Yeah,
a party
Romeo.
Foul, if you will.
Exactly. It was a definite party foul on Tybalt's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But Romeo takes it kind of a slight because originally it was set in a high school and they were football team members, rival football teams.
No idea.
And Tybalt from Verona South High School spills a goblet of mead upon Mercutio, and you know Romeo's like, oh man, you know, it was really just an accident, you know. Tybalt's a nice guy, so Romeo goes and he dumps an entire vat of like punch. Because there's a scene earlier where they're pouring all that, and then you know hilarity ensues.
Yeah, see, I think I read something about that. Wasn't Romeo the wiry halfback?
Yes, he was. He was the wiry halfback.
Were you guys out on the town last night? Because I was by this place, and I won't mention it for reasons of non-commerciality, but $1.59 mead specials.
$1. Get out of here.
Yeah, $1, you call it mead shots.
Nice. That's
phenomenal.
Murphy's had a...
Flag of mead for a buck.
Yeah, but also if you go in during lunch hours, you can get a $4.50 mutton burger.
Ooh.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Well, my war barge sails at midnight.
Sweet.
I want a mutton burger, a flag of mead, and Claire Danes. Bring me the Danes, woman.
So can you leave some of those early folios in the bathroom when we go home after the show?
Oh, totally.
They get all wrinkled.
Good deal.
You guys want to just come over, we could just have a reading in the bathroom.
Oh, well.
Just take turns pooping, and like one person can sit on the
stand
sink
outside,
and one on the bathroom.
Or, oh, well, yeah, I don't
know. Or in the bathtub, I mean. We can just, you know.
You know what, though? It's creepy enough when you sit down on a couch where somebody's been sitting recently. Mm-hmm. You get their butt warmth. I don't know if we want to experiment on a toilet seat.
Yeah, personally, I find it creepy when I set foot in a... in a building where somebody else has been recently, because, you know, I mean, odds are.
Or you eat a food that, you know.
Somebody else has already eaten.
Somebody else has already tried.
I personally, I think my favorite bathroom etiquette thing that goes on in our house, in our happy little home, the hyphenated Ramson home, is the dash for the bathroom when I come home from work, because Mark's unemployed. So if I come home from work, I can hear him as I'm coming up the stairs. I can hear he hears the door slam downstairs, and I can hear these footsteps. And he's in the bathroom because he knows I'm going right.
I'm not getting another shot at it for the next 3 hours,
right,
so I might as well get him.
And
there.
And he's always in there when I walk in. I'm like, hey, what's up? Nothing. Even if he doesn't have to go, he'll just go and sit in there for a little while. Just
prep time,
you know.
Well, and it's also building up discipline in the boy, you know.
Patience, discipline.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the
tolerance,
day.
Tolerance, gratitude.
I have tolerance and gratitude in spades. I have them in spades. The hell does that mean? Does anybody know the etymology of that phrase?
I don't know.
In spades.
I don't know.
Something about cats.
Yeah. And
having babies. Oh. Repeating on you, whatever it was that put you in the bathroom in the first place.
Well, I appreciate you, you know.
So how is that new bathroom to poop in? Are you pooping pretty good?
Delightful. No air fresheners. No sprays.
Did you close the door behind you?
Think,
oh, you left the door open.
Well, it's got to air out.
Is it a...
ventilation.
Is it a peculiar sort of high, like a unique sort of thing, knowing that you're going to the bathroom while you're supposed to be on the air in front of 100,000 people?
Well, I thought
people.
You guys would wait. Silly me.
Well, we ran out of music, dude.
Telling you, the ethereal tones were combining. It was speeding up to one beat per half hour.
Yeah. Like, I thought there would be a half hour song on that we could saunter in.
Usually there is, but tonight, no.
I don't know. You guys kicked it off without me pretty well, though.
Yeah.
It was terrifying and gratifying to be walking out.
And see the little red light on. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I had an idea and everything. It was going to be a Mardi,
what was your idea?
It was going to be a Mardi Gras idea.
Oh.
Except we were going to be like in Chuck E. Cheese because like our parents, you know, our parents wouldn't let us go. And that's as far as I got, you know.
Well, why don't you just do it right now?
This sucks. But don't worry, dudes. We'll have an awesome Mardi Gras right here in Chuck E. Cheese.
See, it's promising, but he's got hand soap all over his hands. And
I mean, it was a rough idea. You don't want to think these things out too much because you gotta factor in your guys' input.
Toilet paper stuck to his forehead. Yeah. I don't know.
Then you know there was going to be references to the, you know, there were going to be ballroom mishaps, the ballrooms and like video games, and then the climax of the scene,
piece de resistance. Yeah.
Well, you know all the inherent things that you have at Chuck E. Cheese. The climax was going to be the animatronic animals. You know.
Those things always creep me out.
Yeah, well, me too.
How about that one in the barrel?
That's comedy right there.
The ostrich in the barrel. Like, ah! Like,
I just, the big, terrifying purple bear. His eyes blink, like, you know, and he plays guitar.
And you hear that,
I just remember, I have a couple of Chuck E. Cheese memories, but, like, I remember just eating my pizza quietly, talking to my friends, and then the show would start up without warning. So all of a sudden, they would all just spring to life and start lurching around and bang on their instruments. It's terrifying because you'd be a kid, like, looking down, talking to your friends, and like, shoot around.
You know, as an unemployed man, I can say with all certainty, that's a job I would love to have, is the guy who gives fair warning that the Chuck E. Cheese show is about to start. Okay, bring it down, bring it down. Everyone,
well, there's no switch in the lights. There's nothing. All of a sudden, he, like, just his head starts staring at you and blinking. His big gaping mouth opens.
Chunk.
A single.
They just powered down the studio around us, which I think is interesting.
All right, everybody give your best power down sound.
All right, go first. I don't want to do it.
Oh, they're probably all going to be very similar.
All right, go ahead.
Wow.
I think Eric wins.
Well, it's because the turbines have to go up. Yeah, there's a security, and then the turbines speed up for a second.
Yeah.
And then fall slowly.
You know, it's very strange. I was working on an experimental film where Britney Spears gets shot out of a cannon into a giant watermelon. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
The real How movie. About your power up noise in the morning?
Oh, that'd be. Do 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 do.
That's pretty high-tech security. Two different codes.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be two different codes. You don't want to put one code.
That makes sense.
It's like your birthday, and then everybody's like turning everything on and off all day.
That's a good point.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So, before we get the show started, final reflections on the bathroom?
I was worried. I still want to know what you needed a toe winch and a midget for. I want to know what you were eating that put you in there for 45 minutes.
It's really personal questions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's my final reflections.
Yeah. Where's the midget now? Is that thing running around loose?
Oh, maybe
that's those probably, are personal questions too, Mark.
That might be who powered down the studio. I'm not going out there in the dark. There's a midget in the dark.
He will show his face when it is time.
A feral fanged midget.
He's hiding in the
corner. He'll show his face when it's time, and also when you stoop down.
Lawrence is waiting for me. I knew he was against the idea of you guys starting, because he thinks that, you know, we should always start in full force, but...
Yeah.
So I respect you, Lawrence. Thank you very much.
Well, Lawrence hasn't recorded any ambient music in damn near a long time.
Yeah.
Well, don't feel bad. People prefer bathroom humor anyway.
Yeah. Poop.
We do it with a certain kind of grace, wit, savoir-faire, and elegance, I think. So.
Poop.
Poop.
Poop.